You're so sweet. I won't tell him y'all did that. Bless his heart. He sweated fever all night long. He wanted to be here so bad. And he got up this morning. And you know that cough that sounds like it comes from your toes? Yeah, it wasn't pretty. That's what he had. Thank you, Pastor Roy. Let's just pray for him right now, because, you know, the Bible says the prayer of agreement will save the sick. And it also says that where two or more agree as touching anything, it shall be done according to his will. Well, we know it's his will for us to be healed because he took stripes for it. He wouldn't have gone to all that trouble if it wasn't his will for us to be healed, okay? And we're going to agree together. And this many people agreeing, I mean, if one puts 1,000 to flight and two 10,000, boy, we got some power in this room. Yeah. So, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we just lift Parkey up to you. We ask you that he be healed by the stripes on your back. We take authority over fever and congestion and cough. And, Lord, we ask you, in agreement with Pastor Mark, that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard his heart and his mind, that he won't worry or fret, that he will rest and let his body rest and be healed in Jesus' name. And I thank you that no weapon formed against him is going to prosper in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you so much for that. Well, you know, I asked the Lord if I could continue Parkey's word on Ruth, the book of Ruth. You know, he started it last week, and I was just all set to take his notes and run with it. And I said, Lord, is it okay if I do that? And the Lord said, no. And I said, why? He said, well, that's a word I gave Parkey to deliver. He said, that's his word. And I am speaking on Ruth, but it is not the word that the Lord gave Parkey. He will continue that next week if the Lord allows him to do that. But I'd like to talk to you a little bit about, kind of expound on what he talked about last week. If you would, turn to the book of Ruth. And let's just read beginning at Ruth 2, and let's just read that scripture there, that chapter. As you know, Naomi and her husband went to Moab. Elimelech dies. Their sons die. Her daughters-in-law, remember last week, he talked about her daughters-in-law clung to their mother-in-law, clung to Naomi, and didn't want to leave her, but finally Orpah left, and Ruth stayed, and she said, I will go where you go, I will reside where you reside, your God will be my God, and your people my people. And in that, Parkey talked about how that Ruth was a cleaver. She cleaved to her mother-in-law. Orpah was a kisser. She kissed her and loved her and then left. And there are two types of people. There are kissers and cleavers. And, you know, a cleaver will stay with you until the day they die. A cleaver will hang on to the Lord with everything they have. And I know that we have a church full of cleavers in this congregation. You're determined. You have perseverance. You're not going to let go. Let's pick up in chapter 2 where Ruth meets Boaz. And they had gone back to Jerusalem, to the house of bread. The famine was over, and there was blessing in Jerusalem. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. Now, this harvest is important. It's important to know what this harvest was. This wasn't an okra harvest. This wasn't a tomato harvest. It wasn't a black-eyed pea harvest. This was a barley harvest. Why barley? You know, the Lord never puts anything in His Word that doesn't mean something. He never puts it in there haphazardly or by accident. It's for a purpose. The Lord has purpose in everything He does. The Lord has purpose in what is happening to you right now. You may not like it. You may be kicking and screaming. You may be sitting depressed in a corner, sucking your thumb, rocking back and forth. My grandchildren just moved in with me. Sometimes I feel like that. I just want to lay on the floor and cry when they do. But it's a blessed time. It's wonderful. The Lord is giving us an opportunity to speak into our grandchildren's lives. That's never by accident. If you have grandchildren living with you, take every opportunity to speak the Word of God to them and teach them the Word of God. So, why barley? Well, to begin with, this was a time which is called, now it's called Pentecost. Then it was a festival that was 7 weeks from Passover. The Lord told the Israelites back in Leviticus to count 7 weeks from Passover. That's called counting of the Omer. 7 weeks from Passover would begin the harvest. And the first harvest is the barley harvest. Now let's look at barley. You can tell your friends, I went to church and learned about barley today. Barley is sown in the fall. Okay, it's put in the ground. The seed is put in the ground in the fall. It goes through the fall, and it goes through the winter. Now, barley has a hard shell on the outside of it. During that winter time, that barley shell becomes pliable and breaks. The seed begins to grow roots. A root system begins to develop. And that root system goes down deep enough so that when the barley does spring up in the spring, it won't topple over. And it can withstand just about anything. Barley is very hardy. It's a very hardy grain. We don't eat much barley here. I had some barley soup the other day that was really good. But barley is very important. And there's a reason that the Lord used barley in this story. And that there's a reason that this was the first feast of the Lord, the first celebration. Before we talk about the celebration itself, I want you to understand that during a winter season, any hard shell in your life is being broken. Some of you have been bored, really bored, and you're like, Lord, why is nothing happening? Why is nothing going on? Things are going on. You just don't see it right now. That hard shell, any hardness in your heart, any hardness in your life is cracking. It's being made pliable. It's beginning to open up, and the roots are beginning to grow. Don't discount the winter season of your life. If you're in a winter season, which a lot of us are, physically we are now, and spiritually a lot of us are, during a winter season, ask the Lord for a special grace and ask Him that everything He wants to do in your life during this season is done. Don't let any of it go to waste. Let all of the hardness in your heart be broken. Let that hard shell go. Any unforgiveness you have, any rebellion in your heart, any kingdom of your heart that you have not surrendered to the Lord totally, let it happen during this season. This is also such a wonderful picture of how Jesus was killed and buried, went into the tomb. The feasts of the Lord always point to Jesus. The three feasts in the spring point to His first coming. The three feasts in the fall point to His second coming. This first feast pointed to how He would be crucified and killed and buried. The barley going in the ground represents the Lord going in the tomb and being broken for us. Barley won't freeze. Did you know that? Barley won't freeze, and it can withstand incredible periods of drought. That's why they used it a lot in the Middle East. When there's no water, barley can hold on. Isn't that amazing? That's why the first feast was the barley feast. The first harvest was barley, because it would go through the winter season into the spring, and it would give everybody enough food so that they could make it through the droughts and the hard times and the seasons where the other crops might have failed. Barley is an example of overcomers. Does that sound weird? Yeah. But let me show you how. You know, there's two types of Christians. There's believers and there's overcomers. Now, you may be a believer. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that he died for your sins and rose again. You have confessed it. You've been baptized. You've gone to Capstone Connections. You've gone through spiritual authority and whatever else you need to go through. But when it comes to your healing, you're just not quite sure that it's for you. When it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit, I can't understand that whole thing, and it's kind of hooky and weird, so I'm just not sure it's for me. Let me tell you something. Anything in this book is for you. The Lord did not write this and give it to us for us to take portions of it and say, well, I'll take that, but I think I'll skip that. He wants you set free. He wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to believe what he says. He wants you to believe he is who he says he is. He wants you to believe you are who he says he is. You know what I mean. That you are who he says you are. You are an overcomer, but you have to believe it. While the barley is in the ground, that hard shell is being broken. Anything in your life right now is not by accident. It's on purpose, and the Lord will use it. Your hard shell is being broken, so you will believe everything he has told you is true. You know what's wonderful about children? They just believe whatever you tell them. I remember one time my kids were in a summer daycare program, and there was this teenage boy there that was helping the teachers. And my kids came home and told me that this boy had trained ants. I said, really? And they said, yeah, Mom. He said he sent these ants to Aunt's best friend, and they trained them. You know, my kids believe that. Isn't that funny? They just take it at face value. Whatever this person says, it's bound to be true. Well, there are times when we're not supposed to believe what some idiot teenager tells us, but there are times, always, when we're to believe every word the Lord says. Every word. Because, see, he won't tell you something that's not true. He won't tell you something that's a lie. He can't lie. There is no lie in him. Did you know that? There's no falseness in him. He is only truth. He is only good. And he only works for your good. Isn't that amazing that we can just relax and trust him? Just like my little grandbaby, when he lays in my arms and smiles at me, he's totally trusting. He knows I won't hurt him. He knows I love him with all my heart. And he just giggles and looks at me, and he's so trusting. And we can just lay in the Lord's arms like that. You know, we can just trust that everything he's doing is good. He's not going to hurt us. And he will use that winter season, those hard things. This is not heaven, and hard things do happen to us. Rosie, you know, hard things happen. You guys had some hard things happen. But the Lord's using it for good. He's using it for good. Randy and Carol, you guys have had some hard things happen. Howard and Sydney, Pastor Roy, Poppy, Mark and Patty, oh my goodness, there's something good coming. There's something good coming. A lot of you have had hard things. This is not heaven. We don't live in heaven. Have you noticed that? Yeah. We live in a very real earthly place where the devil is very present. And he's working overtime because he knows his time is short. But the Lord's using that winter season, and he's breaking that crust off of us because there's something good coming. Believers are those who are saved, but they let this life beat them down. Because of doubt, they doubt God. Because of fear, well, maybe it's all not real. Maybe he's not there. Maybe he doesn't love me. What are those people going to think if I totally let go and become a fanatic for Jesus? Who cares what they think? Yeah. Self-pity? Okay. I have been in self-pity. I admit it. Anybody else willing to admit they've been in self-pity at times? Yeah. That's our flesh wanting to, you know, feel sorry for ourselves. Self-pity is so destructive. You know, what's really frustrating is when you're in a season of self-pity and nobody will agree with you. But, you know, the Lord doesn't want us there. He wants us to be overcomers, not just believers, okay? You know, Revelation 12:11 says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, the word of their witness, and that they didn't love this life. They knew there was more coming. That's us. We're overcoming by all three of those things. We know this is not the end. This isn't all there is. Isn't that great? Yeah. Isn't that going to be great to be raptured and you don't have to make your car payment anymore? Don't have to pay your taxes? There won't be taxes in heaven. Hallelujah. The believers love this life. They act like this is all there is. You know? I don't want to be a believer. I want to be an overcomer. I want to live victoriously. I don't want to be successful in this life. I want to be victorious in this life. You know, there's a big difference. The world can be successful, but then they lay in bed at night and they worry about their money, and they worry about the next paycheck. They worry and worry and worry because they think they're their provider. We're not our provider. God's our provider. Believers are afraid of death. Really and truly, are you afraid of death? Do you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The minute you close your eyes and you go on, you are instantly with the Lord. There's no purgatory. There's no holding place. You're just with the Lord immediately. You're there. Some of you have had some false teaching. You need to really get in the Word and figure out what is true, what is real. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Overcomers are going to be present with the Lord. Overcomers don't fear death. They embrace it. They know it's a part of life. Some of us may die. Some of us may be raptured. It's not really for us to decide, is it? We don't have any control over that. You know, we try so hard to cling to this life. Think about it. You know, things happen, and I'm all for hospitals and doctors and stuff, but I think we cling to this life a little too hard. I really do. We try so hard to stay here when God's got so much for us there. But, you know, overcomers also know that there's not just bad here. There's blessings here too. There's good here. The Lord has good for us here. But it's in his presence. It's seeking his face. It's surrendering to him. It's allowing in that winter season that crust to be broken, for us to be broken open and those roots to go down deep. You know, the barley harvest was important because of all the characteristics of barley. And you know where else it talks about barley? When it's talking about Gideon. Remember when he was looking for a sign and he had the dream and that big loaf of, what was it that fell into the camp? It wasn't an oatmeal cookie. What was it? Loaf of barley, wasn't it? Isn't that interesting that the Lord would use barley there also? Because Gideon was an overcomer. He was scared. He was shaking in his boots or his sandals or whatever he had on. He was scared, no doubt about it. But he chose to trust God. And that overcoming anointing, the barley loaf that went into the camp, that gave him a sign that God was on his side, that God was going to give him the victory. We need that barley anointing. Isn't that funny? I've never heard anybody preach that before. Oh, well. Parky may kill me. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000, what did he feed them with? There's a translation. If you go back into the original language, it says a cake of barley, those little barley cakes. Because Jesus wanted his people to be overcomers. He wanted them to understand that he was on their side, that he was working for their good, that they could overcome because of his blood, because of what he was doing for them. There's some things we need to overcome. Doubt, fear, self-pity. You know, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our doubts, and our fears. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. We don't have to worry. Parky's grandmother was a professional worrier, bless her heart. I loved her so much, but she would call me and she would worry for me on the phone. You know, it was all, oh my goodness, you're going to get out there and then there you'll be. You know, she would say that all the time. You're going to get out there, you'll be all by yourself, then there you'd be. I guess wherever you go, there you are. She worried. She worried a lot. And her precious little heart finally gave out from worrying. If you're laying in bed at night and you're letting the enemy talk to you, you need to stop it. You need to get up. You need to get on your face and you need to surrender that to God. What is it you need to overcome in this season? During this winter season, when your hard shell is being cracked and broken. Some of you have been broken to a place that you never thought you'd go. When you were a child and you thought about your life, did you think it would turn out like this? I was going to be a ballerina. I don't think that's going to happen. But God's got good plans. You know, we make plans. But then God has a plan. You know, his plan is always the best plan. And if you're in a season that you don't like right now, embrace it for all it's worth. Embrace it. Grab hold of it. Ask the Lord to give you grace during this season. Ask him to give you a special barley anointing. Let him break you open. If you'll surrender to him and let him break you, this world will not be able to break you. Let him do it his way. He's gentle and kind and loving. When he breaks you, it's not a hard breaking. He doesn't smash you. He breaks you so that you can be pruned, so that your roots can go down deep, so you can grow into what he's called you to be. He's called you to be more than what you are now, I guarantee it. None of us are living at the level he wants us at. But that's the great thing about this life. We've got time. We've got lots of time. But surrender to him. Those areas where you've been so afraid. You know, Parky and I have been to Africa like 5 times, and I've been to India and some places like that. He's been to Israel. And I think there was a season early on where we were afraid to go overseas, afraid to leave our children, our comfort zones. You know, if you've ever caught yourself saying, well, I ain't never going on a missions trip, you better listen to what the Lord says. Because he could have a blessing for you there that you never in your life believed was possible. He could have ministry inside of you that you never dreamed was there. If you'll just let him during that winter season break that shell, don't ever tell the Lord, I'm not. Don't ever do it. One time we were praying about a ministry opportunity in youth back at our old church, and we said, Lord, we'll go any place but junior high. Guess where we ended up? But you know, it wound up being one of the most incredible times of our lives. We learned so much about ministry. If you can minister to middle schoolers and junior high kids, you can minister to anybody. They have an attention span that's not real long sometimes. But you know, God's working all this so that he can make you into what he wants you to be. Some of you have incredible calls to ministry on your life, but you're afraid, and you've been sitting, and you're frustrated. Man, get out there. My parents' pastor said one time, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. I'd rather get in the water and risk drowning than sit in the boat and wonder what if. I'm determined to do everything I can and get every ounce of this living that I can, because God's got a good plan and I don't have to be afraid. So Jesus fed the barley cakes to the 5,000. He wanted them to be overcomers. There's something good coming. Parky will speak more about it next week, but there's something good coming. There's a lot of doubts right now because of what's around us. But you know, nobody lived in more perilous times than Ruth and Naomi. I mean, they lived in a season where they had to get out of town because there wasn't any food. Has it ever been that bad for you? Have you ever not been able to go to Walmart? We haven't seen hard times. We never have. Hopefully we won't. But if we do, there is a God in heaven that's going to take care of his people, because I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed beg for bread. He's got a plan, and it's a good plan, and it's for you. Say, it's for me. It's not just for the people around you. It's for you. He loves you so much. He's put us here to love you, and we do. Parky and I love you so much. And we pray for you guys. And it's hard on us when we see you go through hard times, but we know that the Lord's working. We know he's breaking that hard crust. We know that he's going to heal you and deliver you and set you free. We know he's going to grow you up into what he wants you to be. And then we get to glorify him when we see you doing what he wants you to do. The call of God on your life is the most important thing in your life. Some of you adults, you get so frustrated with your kids because they won't volunteer and they won't act like they love anybody and they won't go to church and they won't worship and they won't minister. What example have you set for them? Be the person you want your kids to be. Be that, and God will take care of it. I guarantee it. I know some of you know who Dr. Paul Youngi Cho is. He's got the largest church in South Korea, like 20 gabillion people or something. And you know, his mother spent more time in prayer than she did anything else. She had four children, and she would go to church every day, and she would sit at the altar at the Lord's feet and pray. Just intercede and pray, because that was her call, to intercede and pray. And people would ridicule her. And they said, what about all those kids you got? You need to go home, take care of your kids. You need to do this and that and blah, blah, blah. You know, all four of her kids graduated from college. All four of her kids are serving the Lord today. She gave it to the Lord. During that winter season, she let him break her and she spent time at his feet. You know, we give advice so quickly to our kids when sometimes we just need to get out of the way and get on our faces, you know? If you grew up in a household with criticism, a lot of times that's like a disease. It can be caught. And it's easy for those things to come out of your mouth that aren't God. You know, the advice and the criticism. Answer me this. Have any of you ever changed your life because somebody criticized you? I didn't. I dug my heels in. I said, I'll show you. It makes you angry and it makes you frustrated. But if you'll turn that around and bless your children or bless those around you instead of criticizing, it's amazing the changes you see. That's part of overcoming by the word of your testimony. You overcome this life by your words. Your children can overcome by the words you speak to them. Speak the word of God to them. You know, for years I've prayed over Parky and my kids. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly or stands in the way of sinners or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord. On that law he will meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. He'll bear his fruit in its season. His leaf won't wither, and everything he does will prosper. Everything. That's the word you need to speak over your kids so that they will become overcomers. You want your kids to become overcomers, not frustrated and angry at you. If you have broken relationships with your kids right now, you need to apologize for the words that you've spoken to them. Apologize and start speaking the word of God over them, praying the word of God. Teach them to pray the word of God. I told my little grandson this morning, I said, we need to pray for Poppy because he's sick. And he said, I won't. I said, well, if you go live in this house, you will. But, you know, he needs to be taught. He's 2.5, and that rebellious flesh nature is in him. And so that's an opportunity for us to put the word of God in him, you know, to teach him how to pray, to see Mimi and Bop on, he says Bop because he can't say Poppy, to see Mimi and Bop on their faces when we have on praise music, worship in the Lord. My daughter's been really good about teaching him to worship, and when there's worship music on, he sits there going like this. That just thrills my heart, and I know it thrills God's heart. God's got a good plan. When you're in the ground and it's winter, let perseverance come through. Some of you have given up on God. You've given up on church. You've given up on just about everything. You need some perseverance. During the winter season, you need perseverance. Hang in there. It's not all over. It's coming, I promise you. Glory be to God. Glory be to the Father. Great things he has done. He's the creator of all things. He doesn't owe you an explanation for why you're where you are. And if it's of your own doing, just repent. Just ask him to forgive you and then ask him to show you the way. You know, I've done a lot of things that I regretted before I knew the Lord, and even after I knew the Lord, I've done some stupid things. My dad used to say, use your head for something besides a hat rack. Did anybody else have that said to you? Yeah. I'm like, okay, whatever, Daddy. Praise God, he got saved, and he's living for God now. But you know, you can't live in regret. It has no answers. Regret will only torment you. When you're laying in bed at night and that reel of your life plays over and over and over, there's no answer. It's done. It's over. Ask the Lord to cover it in his blood. Repent of it and move on. You know, I've learned that if that starts in my head, and I don't know what it is about night, but it does. I guess everything's quiet, you know, and the enemy loves to come in and try to beat you up with your past. But if that happens, immediately say, Father, I give this to you because it's too big for me to handle. It's too much for me. turn it around and use it for your good and your glory in Jesus' name. He will. He'll do it because he's faithful and true, and he loves you with all his heart.